welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
So you have too much expression of vocal prowess and ability, and nothing for the spirit to feed on. Very empty, because they have all decided to copy Tony Braxton and Mariah Carey and all these other people. I have no apology. It's my work. My soul follows hard after thee. If you know it, you sing. If not, make it your prayer, and I'll get started by 12 o'clock. My soul follows hard after thee. Early in the morning will I rise up and sing it. And because thou hast hidden my life under the shadow of thy wings, I will rejoice. Then he went to, Lord, I'm gonna love you, love you, Lord. Lord, I'm gonna love you. Nobody knows. Love you, Lord. Lord, I'm gonna love you. Your love has filled my heart. Lord, I'm gonna follow you. Lord, I'm gonna follow you. Lord, I'm gonna follow you. Your love has filled my heart. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. Lord, I'm gonna worship you. Your love has filled my heart. My soul follows hard after thee. Early in the morning will I rise up and sing it. And because thou hast hidden my life under the shadow of thy wings, I will rejoice. If this song expresses your desire, sing it with me. If it doesn't, please keep quiet. If you are not sure, make it a prayer point that you want what I'm about to sing. It's very popular, everyone knows it. But don't fall into the trap of telling God what you don't mean. Don't fall into the trap of singing something you like, whereas you are not really saying that to God. Don't joke with His presence that is here. The Abraham I lighted to us, one way you know is how all the ministers, without informing themselves, have been talking around the same point. It should let you know that that's a sign. And interestingly, the first scripture I'm going to give you in this new course, and this course I'm going to take, is the scripture that Reverend Joseph hammered on last. He gave it earlier, and then he hammered on it last as the two most important things. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. He didn't tell me we use it. We didn't talk about it anywhere. It should show you that there's a spirit that is speaking in all these people together.
As the deer panted for The water so my soul longs after thee. For you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Worship means devotion of time, energy, and resources to the one that is greater. The person you worship is the person you devote your time, energy, and resources for its use. The person that controls your time, your energy, and your resources is the person you are worshiping. So don't just sing, I love to worship you, as if I'm saying I love to sing worship song. That's not what we are singing here. Understand what you are saying.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longs after thee, and you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. And you alone are my heart desire, and I long to worship you.
Did you think about it? You alone are my heart's desire. Did you think about it? What you are saying is that your heart's desire is not to be a star. That's what we are saying. What you are saying is that your heart's desire is not to have money. What we are saying is that your heart's desire is not to have a good wife. What you are saying is that your heart's desire is not to have any of the other things. Please think. You alone are my heart's desire. That's what you are saying. If that's not your desire, make it a prayer that, Lord, this is what I want. I want it to become my only desire. Earlier when I got into a relationship, I had struggles because the whole of my head and my mind was fighting with sexual attraction and a few other things like that. And I came one day and I told God, I said, God, I don't want a wife. It's you I want. I don't want to have sex. It's you I want. I don't need children. It's you I want. In fact, if this is the issue, that this thing will keep troubling my mind and troubling my head, then I don't want. The truth is, I don't want. It's need by force. If I don't have sex, I die. Will anything happen to me? Won't I go to heaven? If I never have somebody to sleep with or to have children, is that even the purpose of marriage? I say, I don't want again. Take it away. The thing began to rework my mind. There's something much more. It's not about sex, friends. You will not die if you don't have sex till you die. Think, you alone are my heart's desire, and I love to worship you. If you are saying, I love to devote my time, energy, and resources to you, that's what you are saying. If it is your desire, or if you want to make it a point of prayer, cry out one more time as we sing this song, and then we'll continue with our class.
You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Please make it a point of prayer. Crucify your desires. Bring them out one by one in this prayer now. bring out those things you desire one by one and kill them and say, Jesus, you are my desire. In you I have everything. In you I have everything, more than all that I ever needed. All. Another songwriter says, all that I adore is in you. That's when the person now says, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Because he or she has found that all that he adores, all that ever matters, all that will ever be meaningful in life here and for all eternity are found in him. In him I hid all the treasures of wisdom. It's in him that they are found. Crucify each of those desires you have, especially the wrong ones. Put them all down. And the ones that appear to be good but that are conflicting with your devotion to him, put them down. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. That's what somebody else sang. It's been a long time since we had such songs. All you hear now is, he gave me clothes, he gave me food, he gave me shoes. The sinners, don't they have shoes and clothes? So what's so special about that? Let's talk about devotion. Let's talk about worship. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Lord, you are more precious than silver, more costly than gold, more beautiful than diamond. Nothing I desire compares with you. Mention your desires. That's what we are talking about. Let's get real with the songs that we are singing. Mention the desires now, and then tell him, this thing I desire, it is not comparable to you. This promotion I desire is not comparable to you. This academic success I desire is not comparable to you. If I have you, I have all of them together. And that's the truth. He will not fail you. He hasn't failed me, neither has he failed all the people that went ahead of me. It will not start from you. What are your needs? What are your problems? Don't even measure anything. Yet, the devil or whatever keeps confusing our minds. And of course, wrong teachings has done a lot more. Confuse your minds as if there are more important things in this life. There are no more important things in life. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, O God. More than life itself, more than marriage, more than success, more than ministerial success, more than ministry, more than preaching to people, more than the work of ministry. You are my heart's desire. I want to spend more and expend myself more for you and with you than to go by routine and just be talking everywhere. Lord, I want you to be my only desire above all other things. I'm a youth. I have so many desires. I have so many passions. But I want to replace them. I want to exchange my weaknesses for your strength. My ashes, I want to exchange them for your beauty. And I will be much more than all my mates. I will be much more than everyone else that is aspiring for little things. Because no man stays with you and remains little. Lord, that's my desire. That's what I'm asking for this afternoon. Hear our prayer, our Father. And grant us understanding as we continue in the study of your word. For we are prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, we're going to do this. It's practical all through by the grace of God. Now, one of the major things that our Christian life hangs upon is what we are dealing with. Now, we are dealing majorly with how. So, not so much talk about other things. God has given us that already. Our brother Seth has been, you know, God has used him tremendously to give us a lot of the heart preparation and things that we need to know and do before we even come to the Bible at all. So now, the questions we are going to be answering are the questions that we ask when we get to the Bible or before we even go. Some of those questions are the things that by the grace of God we are going to answer. Of course, I know that number one is usually, it may be this or it may be another one. It may be, let me start with why instead of with what. Initially, I started with what. Why do I study? Or why should I study? Then you also want to ask, what should I study? Abby? Oh yeah, continue now. All your questions. You say, when should I study? You also ask, how do I study? Sometimes we also ask, where? We ask, to what extent? There are more. Let me not miss them. I have written them down. We are going to pick them one after the other and quickly deal with them. Of course, we are going to look at our tools that we need. Okay. So I have almost everything. So the next is, what are my tools, and then more help and further help. We want to also know, what are the tools? That's tools for Bible study. And then I call this one now more help. I call another one further help. That's nuts. Okay, are we ready for this? So the first thing I will is to answer a particular question that is not even yet written. What is Bible study? What is study all about? Okay, that even could be handled otherwise. So let me not bother. Let me just not bother. All right, we have heard so much about Bible study, and you have to study the Bible. We saw it as part of the five things you do with the Word of God. Read, study, confess, speak, and pray in the same group, and meditate on the Word of God, and then act the Word of God. So we have that point of study. Where do I study? Did we put that? Yeah. Where do I study? Where do I read? How will I know what to do? And all those things. Let's get started. Why should I study? Somebody said, success is 80% why, 20% how. We don't do things because we don't know why we should do them. So it's a struggle. The same thing about following Jesus that we were teaching in the other course. You don't follow Jesus as a matter of life and death because you don't know why you should follow him. So it's like they are bothering you. Why should I study? Number one, to know God. Oh, that's very religious, isn't it? Everybody knows. To know God. We look at these scriptures very quickly. John 1, verse 1. 17, verse 3. I will list all of them. You take them as much as you can. Ecclesiastes 8, 4. Is it 8, 4 or even 9, 4? It should be 8, 4. James 1:25. The same John 8. Okay, 30-32. John 15:7. Those ones actually will contain more than to know God, but I don't want us to stay so long on why alone. That's why I want to just list all the scriptures as fast as I could. Hebrews 1:1, and then finally Isaiah 55. Hebrews 1:1, then Isaiah 55:10-11. Let me quickly tell us what we have there. I will not stay too long on them. I want to believe that by now you are knowing why you should study. from all the sessions. That's why I will not stay so long on this, so that we can get into the practice of studying. Do you understand? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Please let me let you know the amount of Word you know is the amount of God. Of course, I can say you know, or I say you carry, if that's how you like to say it. There's no spiritual giant that is not packed full with the Word of God. I told us yesterday, or was it earlier today, if you get the idea of speaking in tongues as what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and your baptism in the Holy Spirit stops at speaking in tongues, you have failed. You have failed woefully. You have not learned anything about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because you have failed to realize that what you have received is a whole person. The personality that is the power of God. God himself that is active on earth at this moment is the one living with you and living inside you. And then you think it's only to speak in tongues. That's to say things that you don't understand. Speaking in tongues is good. We have seen all the advantages. But if you ever stop there in your mind, in your understanding of baptism in the Holy Spirit, you have failed. I will not even give you 10/100. I will not give you 10/100. What it means after you have been filled with the Holy Spirit is to load yourself full with prayer and the Word of God. Two most important things. I told you we will start with that. Only that I'm even already jumping it. I've said it in the prayer. So let's not distract ourselves with all this serving food and jumping and meddling with other issues. Let's devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word of God. Prayer for your personal life and prayer for others. Then study of the Word of God for your personal life, and if you are in ministry of preaching, study of the Word of God also for the work of ministry. That's what it is all about. That's all. The most important things in life, that's all. And those are the two things that the devil will do everything possible. This one, it is the devil that will do it. Plus your, of course, by tricking your mind. To make sure you will not do it. He will give you all the other things to do. All the beautiful films to watch, including Christian movies. And then you put down the Bible. He will give you everything else to make sure you don't do the most important things. Two most important things, prayer and the Word of God. That's all that Christian life is built on. The Word is God. Stop looking for God everywhere. Stop looking for God anywhere. You find God in the Word. God is His Word. The Word of God is God. Believe the Bible because that's the truth. I want to know God. I want to know what God. You want to know God? What are you actually looking for? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is equal to God. Very simple answer. You want to know God, then what you are saying is that you want to know the Word. Have you seen any of them that came to stand here and you don't see how they throw the Word of God without blinking, without looking at notes? Any minister, whether singing or preaching or drama, the strength of your life is in the Word. You don't have the Word, you just keep talking as if you are advising people. Do I sound like I'm advising you when I'm preaching? It's with your authority. The authority that is in that Word is what I use to speak. Because it is the finality. It is final. It's what God has said. No man can change it. Then why? Oh, no God. Then what else? What does that hold for me? 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. What is eternal life? What is eternal life now? Comprehension. To know thee, the only true God. Whatever Jesus touches, we said, never dies. He alone has immortality. We didn't read that. It's part of the master's profile. God will help me. I will print out that document and give everybody a copy. He alone has immortality. The person that has Jesus inside does not die. The only thing that happens to us is that we leave this body. The one that dies is the one that doesn't have Jesus. And even at that, it doesn't mean that his spirit is no longer existing also, but he will exist in eternal damnation. He goes out of his body, first of all, to be locked up in hell, At the time of judgment, he will be raised to face judgment. And when God finally judges him, he sentences him to a lake of fire. And there he will rot in and burn together with the devil forever. That's Matthew 12, 25, verse 41. The only business of a Christian, prayer and the word of God, above every other thing you want to do. He has told you, I have understanding more than my teachers. You heard Pastor Joseph saying that. It's take time to be meditating on the word of God and see if your IQ will not also shape up. It is not from God that we get dullness. It is not from God. He didn't give you the spirit of fear, but the power of love and of sound mind. Is that not so? My pastor will say we are little because we spend little time with God. Very simple. I'll stop there with John 17:3. Ecclesiastes 8:4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Somebody is saying, I want the power of God. Oh, what is the power of God? Eh? The word of God. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. What is it? The word of God. Hey, I want faith, I want faith, I want faith, I want faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. That hearing is understanding. You will find in other versions. Faith comes by understanding, and understanding comes by the word of God. Once you have understanding, faith comes. Then when the understanding that will give you faith is the one that comes by the word of God, not from motivational preaching. Immediately you hear motivational preaching, one or two challenges will throw you off your feet very soon. It is where I've been very well. That's why all those things don't move me. I have read their books. I have listened to their messages. They have nothing to offer me. They are big men, but it's to you. They are not to me. James 1:25. He that continues to look at the perfect law of liberty and does not waver and is not a forgetful error but a doer of it, that man shall be blessed in all that he does. I want blessing. I want God's blessing. How do we assess it? He that continues to look into the perfect law of liberty and is not a forgetful error but a doer, that man will be blessed in all that he does. In how many things? Put your profession and your career and your school and academics in that line. He will be blessed in all. That's what we are saying. Stop thinking that the Bible is a storybook. Bring your life into it one by one. It will solve all the problems for you. John 8:30-32. You are my disciples if you continue in my word. That's what he told the Jews that believed in him from verse 31. You are my disciples truly if you continue in my word. How do we become disciples? Continue in his word. We are coming there. But we will not stay so long because we are already taking this. By the time we get there. And then verse 32 is where he said, and then you will know the truth. And the truth will make you. Who is looking for deliverance that is thinking that what you need is to be given what you, what does Pastor Jeff will call it? Spiritual massage. You get one today. I have known a lot of people from Deeper Life and MFM that have had more than 5-7 deliverance sessions. Why do they keep coming back to the same thing? The pastor's anointing has faded off. Is that what you call it? Deliverance is not by laying on of hands. It is preached. Isaiah 61. He has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives. Is it to pray? When the snake was biting them in Numbers 21, and they cried to Moses. Moses cried to God. God said, make a bronze. And then ask them to look up at the bronze. Anyone that looks up will not perish. Did they ask Moses to be laying hands on them in their sin? Look up at the Lamb of God that was crucified. If you look up to Jesus, and that's what Jesus used in John 3:14. He said, the Son of Man will be lifted up just the same way that the serpent was lifted up. And the person that looks up to him will not perish. That's where John 3:16 came from. That's what they were saying before they got to John 3:16. Will not take more time on all that. 15 verse 7. If you continue in my word, abide in me and let my word abide in you. No, okay, let me say it the way it is. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you will ask for whatsoever you want and then it will be given to you. Why do you not have your prayers answered? Because you are not abiding in the word of God. You are asking outside the sphere of what the word of God guarantees to you. You are asking without understanding and knowledge of what the word of God has already promised you. So when you ask, it's easy for the devil to put doubt in your mind, or to make you think God will not answer, or to make you think, you even sure yourself that God wants to give you this thing. Because you are not even sure. It's not based on the word of God. He told us prayer is communication with God based on the word of God is everything in this kingdom. Together with it, you have prayer, which is now communicating with him based on that same word. But that's the only thing the devil will make sure you don't have time to read, isn't it? Isn't it? And by the time you are reading it, it's what you will sleep on. The most important thing, that's how the devil is fighting us. It's not with dream. You are having bad dreams because you have empty of the word of God. It has been a long time since they showed up. That's how they were troubling me. If I tell you the dreams I had, 5 series of dreams, I knew the devil was after me. When I began to grow, thank God for Smith at the back. He was the first person to draw me to Christ. Began fasting and praying and studying the Bible and all of that. The last time they came, I killed the man that they sent in the dream. After that, any other time, if I had begun to calm down, they will show. Immediately I say, oh boy, you don't relax. I fire again with the word of God. Let them come. They will come home, but they will die again. They have stopped coming. That secret of answered prayer. I hope you are saying why. Hebrews 1:1. God, who has in diverse times and in diverse manners spoke to our fathers by the prophets, has in this last day spoken to us through his Son. By the time he got down to verse 3, he brought in the word of God, but I will not just use assumption to tell you. Now he has spoken through his Son. Please read Revelation 19, verse 13. It will tell you that the name that they gave to his Son is the word of God. He has a name that no other person knows, and his name is which is the word of God. That's Jesus Christ. You match the same thing with John 1:1. Match it with John 1:14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only living Son of God, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. How do you be a disciple of Jesus? It's by the word. He is the word. Jesus is everything that the word of God is all about. From Genesis to Revelation, they are all talking round about Jesus and about different aspects of his work and what he came to do on earth. That's why we must study, because it is the most important thing. And that's why it is the one thing that the devil fights. Yes or no? If you want to fight the devil, that's what to fight. That is what will renew your mind. Pastor was writing on the board, how do we now condition our mind? He wrote Romans 12 verse 2. Don't be conformed to the standard of this world, but be transformed inwardly by the renewing of your mind. Ephesians 5:26, he will sanctify them by, John 17:17, sanctify them by your word, for your word is truth. Then Ephesians 5:26 is where he said he will wash him by the washing of water, by the word of God. How do you live a holy life? How do you become pure? How do you get rid of evil thoughts? How do you get rid of wrong ambition? It is by the word. The word reprograms your mind. I told you how I got free from anger and from fight, and especially with my elder brother, which was the last enemy to conquer. It was the same word he brought, because that thing now has reconditioned my mind. That now when he slaps you, there is no need to slap back. So when that word came that morning, from my subconscious now, not by rote memory, what happened? I think it was in the morning, yes, on a Saturday. I remember the word, like Pastor said, took over me. He said, when you have fed it in well, it will take over you. The action will be, like, you know the way reflex action. They slap you. Before you even had the opportunity to think, you have slapped back. By the time you are fed in yourself with the word of God on that matter, well, it is that the same way it will behave without thinking. You will not have to think about your action. It will just be there. That is the secret. It is the secret of every giant, every man that ever walked with God or achieved anything for God. You had the story of going to the moon. Those people were reading the word of God. Genesis 1:1, obtaining permission from the creator of heaven and earth from beginning of their journey to the end. That's why they are still the only station there. You think it's by science? You think it's only science that did it? History already has shown that it is not only science, because others have tried the same thing and they have crashed out. Jesus did not make average people. Jesus did not make people who are not excellent. If you are not excellent, it is not his fault. It's partial, number one, because we have been wrongly taught. Number two, we too don't know him. And we are, our eyes have not been opened to see these things that I'm sharing. Thank God for grace that showed us. I didn't know this too earlier. So it was not the first day I became born again. Isaiah 55 verse 10. So shall it be concerning the words of my mouth that I have spoken. It shall not return. It shall accomplish whatsoever I send it to accomplish. It will not return to me void. That word is God's errand boy. It's the one that God sends to do all that he will do. Hebrews 11 verse 3. By faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. What formed the world? This thing you are standing on. What formed it? When God was creating the world, Genesis 1, and God said, let there be light. The light you see, including the sun as big as it is, was a product of just that word. That's where everything is. Everything, all of God's works, everything you want God to do in your life, that's where it is found. That's why, if the devil wants to fight, that's one thing I am sure the devil will fight. Because that's where the thing is. That's the main thing. So it doesn't go for the cheap things. That's the main thing. That's it. It gives food to the eater and bread to the sower. It's the same place. Of course, we have covered this. Please, do you understand? Buy the tape. Of course, but everything will be put in one CD, most likely. Listen over and over again until this thing consumes you and makes you know that the word of God is your life. If you are going to be in God, nothing else. Nothing else. So that's why my pastor likes that song. This is the air I breathe. That's why he likes it. Your holy presence, your living word spoken to me, is the food I eat, is the air I breathe. Job, is it 12:16 or 16:12? He says, I cherish your word more than my necessary food. More than my necessary food, I cherish your word. Every giant, that is where it is. If your Holy Ghost baptism will produce much for you, that is where it is. For the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. What is truth? The word. It will bring to your remembrance whatsoever things that I have taught you. Abby? And then he said, it will take from the things that are mine and it will show it unto you. I say the things that are mine because all the things that the Father has, they are mine. That's what Jesus said. Who is the total embodiment of Jesus Christ? The word of God. We leave that. I hope that's clear enough. The amount of word that you know, and of course, that know, the word know means to see, to experience, to see, to understand, and to experience. Or if you want to reverse it, where you see, unless a man becomes born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. That see also means to know, to understand, and to experience. So, when I say the word you know, you should see it in that light. It's not only that knowing that someone, theologian may say he knows. He doesn't know anything. He's very ignorant. He's not taught by the Holy Spirit. Very ignorant. That's it. The amount of what you know is the amount of God that you carry. Find it anywhere. That's the truth. Are we clear with that? Are we clear with that? Somebody said no. What's the complaint? Eh? How? Because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So because the Word and God, they are the same, then what do I do? If I want God, what do I really... God that you cannot see, how do you touch him? That's the Word he has left with you. That's the full person. So touch, carry the Word, then you are already carrying God. You see? Very simple and very practicable. It will help you more than 5 years of praying. Lord, I want to know you. If God will ever answer that question, what he will tell you is take the word. If he will ever answer that prayer, what he will teach you is the word of God. What he will do for you is to open your eyes to understand the word of God. That's what he does. All the problems you say you have, that's how he solves them. Start listing them if he has ever solved any problem for you. That is really a permanent solution. That's how they come. That's how you deal with anger. That's how you deal with pride. That's how you deal with fear. That's how you deal with loss. That's how you deal with all those things. What you do is pick that issue, pick that particular issue, and stay with God on that issue to teach you on that issue and on to teach you how to be free based on the word. By the time you would have had up to 20 scriptures, like Pastor suggested, on that matter, the word will take over you by itself. It will make a new programming in your head. That's all. Of course, two most important things, word and prayer. So as you discover the word and you see what the word of God has guaranteed, what do? You make it your point of prayer. It sets you sit down. That's it. Let's move on. What should I study? Is the next question we normally ask. What should I study? I have just given you that now. Very easy. One of the most important things that you can do with study. Because I will still say more when I get to where, so I will only pick this one. One of the most and the most helpful things that you can do with study is please identify an area of need in your life. Look at yourself, look at your character, look at the problems you have, look at issues that you have that you are dealing with presently, then take that matter to God in your morning devotion. Let it begin with that. And then once you have identified that matter, let me pick anger for instance, then to answer the question of where, I will give you more other things that we will do. But to answer the two together, once you have identified that matter, the first thing that can happen is if you have any interaction with the word of God before at all, you might already immediately have one scripture that deals with it. For example, Ephesians 4:24, be angry but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down over your anger. Isn't it? That's for anger. You go and stay with that first. We'll deal with more with how to study. So I want to pass all these ones sharp. So if you pick that one and then you begin with it, you might soon come across Matthew 5:22. When we get to more help and resources, you will see how those things can happen. 5:22 says, if you say to your brother that he's a fool, you are in the danger of hellfire. That means you stand the risk of going to hellfire. Are you following me? If you are asking the question of what to study, I would advise and really, really recommend that you focus on your areas of need first of all. Don't come, you know you have issue. What you want to come and do is you want to study about holiness, sir, or the anointing, or eschatology. You want to know what will happen after rapture. What's your business with that? With anger? If you now know rapture and anger is not left, will you still go? So pick the area of need. That's how discipleship that Jesus will do to you. That's how it happens. Pick the thing you want Jesus to deal with in your life. You know it is not, that side doesn't look like Jesus in your life. Pick it. Then say, Jesus, I've come. Devotion. I don't come. Oga, help me to deal with this thing. And let's start with the word of God on it. How we are going to study and get the scriptures, we are coming there. Okay? Is that okay? That's what should I study. Now, more on where should I study. More. There are different types of study, of Bible study. You could decide to study or read through a particular book. Okay? You can decide to do a book study. That is, you want to study a whole book of the Bible. One of my most favorite books, you see, I say most favorite, is Romans. I love Romans. A man like me that struggled a lot with sin as a young Christian found a lot of help with Romans. That's why I love it. I love Romans. Romans. You can decide to study a whole book. You can decide that you are going to study a chapter. Probably because of the preaching you have been hearing. It's as if there's a particular verse of the Bible that has been coming up, and it's as if everything seems to be going around that scripture, or something that really strikes you about that chapter or that particular passage. Why not decide that your next Bible study, that's if you have not identified a major area of need that you want to focus on immediately, why not decide that that will be the next chapter you are going to go and study? It could be a whole chapter. It could be the chapter that has one particular verse that touches your life. One verse that touches your life. Say, okay, let me study the whole chapter so I can get the full dose. That's one. That's another one. You could decide that you are going to study a verse in a chapter of a book. That's what they call verse study. Okay? You can write it too, because I want us to be fast so we can get into how properly. So, book, chapter, or verse. And of course, finally, you can decide, okay, not finally, you could decide to study a word. You heard Pastor Joseph say the same thing, isn't it? Abby? He could say you want to study the word, repent. I have been telling God, I'm sorry. And say, I repent. And it's as if this thing is not really so. What does he even mean to repent? So that we know whether I'm really repenting or not. You see, that is a need area. Abby? Bible study is more effective when you are studying about your life. What touches you, what you need to change, and what you need help for now. It's more effective that way. I hope you will not be asking where should I study again another time. Finally, we can study a topic. If you are going to do any study on devotion, on your morning devotion or your quiet time, please, that one, if I'm permitted by God, I will make it a rule. Let it be the thing you need in your life. Because your personal devotion or your morning devotion is also called your personal altar. It is the altar where you are the sacrifice. You are the animal, like Isaac, that Abraham has tied. Cut my neck. God, please, cut my neck. That's what personal altar is about. Do you understand? That's why I've told you it's different from normal Bible study. If you are going to do anything on personal altar, let it be a need area. So that you are being changed into his image from glory to glory. If you are going to do anything, let it be that one. You know your issues, you know your problems. So let that be what you are meeting with God on every morning. By the time he would have sorted, he would have helped you to sort one out, you are picking another one. Then you will be able to measure your progress. You will know that you are now a Christian. And you will see the glory of Jesus. So, but aside from personal altar, which is morning devotion, okay, or quiet time, as you may want to call it. Apart from that, you could pick a topic. So you can have a particular issue you are discussing with God on your personal altar, and especially if it is not a very critical thing, if you permit me to say, you may decide also that in your personal Bible study that you want to have later in the day or something, you could pick another topic that you want to study, another topic of interest. Are you getting me? You could pick another topic. If you feel, I need to know more about how to pray, you can decide that you are going to study on prayer. And again, what? It could be one scripture you already know about prayer. Maybe 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Pray without ceasing. That may be your starting point. If you don't know where it is in the Bible, but you know that there is a place like that in the Bible, you may as well walk up to some of us if we are around and ask. Or if you have a phone or Bible or a computer that can help you to search for scriptures in the Bible, you type pray without ceasing into your phone and press search. Some of us that have Bibles on our phone don't even know that the phone can search with your phone. So if you know the scripture, even if you don't know the whole thing is pray without ceasing, you can type in pray alone. When you type pray alone, you will be amazed at the number of Bible verses that it will bring for you. You already have study material like that with your phone. You will see more than 300 scriptures if you type pray. Those are very important words in the Bible. It is all over the place. 1,000 probably. You will see. And then you can take your time. You will see that you are the one who doesn't have time to study. It's not the Bible that is not ready. Okay, so we are moving to... To what extent? I will pick this so we can settle finally on the how. Then we leave it there and we are out. To what extent should I study? That question is answered in 2 Timothy. We have this sure word of prophecy, which you do well to pay close attention as to a light shining in the dark until the daylight arises until the morning star, until the day dawns and the morning star arises, shines in your heart. When you come to study, brothers and sisters, if what you have just done this morning is to read one passage of the Bible and then you went out without anything coming from that scripture that is burning you or that is giving you a new understanding or something definite, you have not reached the place. So you see, again, it's not for the person who wants to rush out. And that's why we are teaching you also how to plan your time so you have proper time. If something has not come from that word that it didn't jump out to you to open your eyes and show you that, oh boy, you need a change, and change it now. If the day does not dawn, if light does not shine forth in your heart and give you energy for that day from that word, if something does not pick you, if your heart did not burn, if nothing struck you, you did not succeed in your Bible study for that day, period. Read down. When you read that place down, you will see that it's talking about the word of God. Verse 20 and 21. Say, because the scripture has no private interpretation. That's verse 20. Then verse 21, he said that because only men of God wrote as they were moved, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So I'm not picking a scripture that is not connected to it. It is exactly what they are talking about. Do you understand? The light must shine in your heart. Your heart must burn. That's to what extent? If your heart did not burn, you have not reached the place. Perhaps, let me give allowance that time may be against you at one point, and it's as if it has not really come yet. Please take that scripture. That's what you are going to do. Even when time is not against you, take that scripture and put it in your heart and meditate all through. I have turned my walking time, trekking time, to thinking time. I'm either thinking about what God wants me to do, or about the project I'm handling, or about the word of God. That's what I do when I'm trekking. God showed me that that's an easier way. So I trek now, instead of being thinking about, oh God, the one that somebody will have to do before we reach this place. And I'm working up stress in my mind, and you'll become more tired than you should be. I simply pick up one of my projects, and I'm thinking about it. On the way, I don't see you when I they go my own. After another 35 minutes to 40 minutes, I'm already where I'm going. That's to tell you I trek for as long as that, 45 minutes. All right. Of course, you will have time for questions if you have. What are my tools? I want to write again now because this is very important. Am I too fast? If I am too fast, make this particular one. Oh, yeah, it over and over again. So you can take time to pick your notes. They are all practical instructions, Abby. Or am I breaking scripture? Am I explaining too many things? Practical instructions that you follow. Okay. So we have defeated many of these. Now we are at what are my tools? What am I to simply is what do I need to study? Abby? Alright, so number one, let me title it first and say tools. Number one, of course you need the Bible. Then I'm going to have to eat. Other Bible translations. They will help you like anything else will not. If the Bible you have is King James Bible, I have come to another point I enjoy. The King James Bible you have, that is old KJV, the original KJV, was translated in 1611. How many years ago was that? 1611, how many years old was that? 400 years old. Your grandpa was not born. He doesn't understand that English so well. Shakespeare and the rest came in 16 or 17 or what time was it? That's even like 200 years after. So when they say thou seest, they know what they are saying. Thou seest. Wittest not thou. Wittest not thou. Well, you know what he's saying? Say, don't you know? That withest not thou. Withest not thou. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. That place for mystery of iniquity. And the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that letteth it shall let, until he be taken out of the way. I ask people, what is the meaning of letteth it shall let? They say it is to allow him. Meanwhile, what it means is that the person that is restraining it, working against it, will continue to do so until that person is taken out of the way. Does this sound like it in your ear? From what I read in King James? So because of linguistic problem, because of language problem, you have begun to think that the Bible is a book that cannot be understood. So until one man stands to say that the Greek word for that thing, for that letter, actually means to restrain, then you say, hey, how will I ever have known that if I sat down by myself when I don't have Greek? How will I know that letter means restrain? But NKJV, which is the new version, they call it New King James Version, was also produced to make the Bible come into more contemporary language, English, that people like us in our day can understand. So why not have your old King James and then have NKJV? So if you read last place in old King James and then you read NKJV, you will see that in NKJV what you have there is restrain, not let it. And your confusion is solved. That's even without asking the Holy Spirit yet. Just linguistic problem. Just language problem. Just language what? Just language problem. Do you understand? You read the whole King James Bible and it's sounding boring to you. It is because you are reading a language you are not familiar with. So buy other Bible translations. If you don't have money, please look around your house. There's somebody probably in your house that has a Good News Bible, or that has contemporary English version, or that has any of these other simpler ones. At least you can use them to compare with your King James. And it helps you to have a everyday language understanding. Or NIV, those are even more authoritative. Abi, NIV or Allman Christian Standard Bible, HCSB. More authoritative versions, if you would like to talk about authority. And then we come to a Bible like Amplified Bible that breaks open several hidden shades of the word. Because all those things they put there were based on the Greek meaning of those words. That's what they do in Amplified Bible. By such, open your eyes and stand up. By such, so that you don't stop at that closed gate of a 400-year-old English. Is that okay, please? Is that okay? Today is 2011. So that's 400 years. 1611 and 2011 is 400 years. That's where your confusion is coming from. Most of them, that's where they are coming from. So that's number one. Number two is that you need a dictionary. Many times you assume that you know the meaning of some words. Abby? You assume that you know the meaning of words. You take your time and check a particular scripture. If you give me one now, we could use it as an example. But when you pick a word, even a word as common as is, you look at the dictionary for the meaning of is. It will shock you. You will find that that word is. It's a kind of auxiliary verb. It can stand alone by himself sometimes, but it describes they call it simple present tense. It describes a state of being, not just an action. He is a boy, meaning yesterday he was a boy. Today he's a boy. Tomorrow he will still be a boy. Simple present tense. It means that thing never changes. It's present. That's how it remains. So when you now read, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Please take your time. If, conditional statement, any man, any means whatsoever, man, talking about human race, is, as long as he's a man, is in, that is inside, covered within the jurisdiction of Christ. Read the meaning of IN in. Go and check dictionary. It will show you that it means that you are within the confine of something. In, into. Those are related words. Check dictionaries, please. Because English language, you did not author it. It shows so much light. That study, paying close attention to the words. It's in Christ. Not outside. Not around. In. Christ. What is Christ? The anointed one, the Messiah. That person that is in Christ, as I am talking now, he is. That means if it was yesterday he had been born again, he was a new creation yesterday. Today, as we are talking, he is a new creation. Tomorrow, as long as he is still in that Christ, he remains what? A new creation. He has never existed before. You don't have a past when you have entered Jesus. Your past is gone. Your past, or anything you want to call your past, started the day you became born again. The family I was born from, Ogenike, they lost their son when I became born again. I don't belong to the Ogenike family. Of course, you know my name. My son's name now is even Thomas. I have changed it to Thomas anyway. But besides that, I don't belong to that family in the real sense of my proper attachments. So if they say there's something running from that lineage, excuse me, the man is dead. Did he jump through the grave? If a man dies with a disease, when he wakes up, does he wake up with the same disease? Especially when he's ghost in his spirit form. The witches and wizards that probably killed him, can they stand him? That's even if witches and wizards killed him. If his ghost comes up, does his ghost, ordinary ghost, not trouble the same witches and wizards? At least you see that in all movies that you watch. That's enough knowledge to apply. He is a new creation. He remains as a state of being. I'm taking that as an example. Read dictionary for each of the words. Don't assume that you know the meaning of one word, especially when you are really intending to do a deep study. Check dictionaries. Even everyday dictionary. If you don't have Bible dictionary, no problem. A normal dictionary. You see this, my pastor that came. He said he doesn't use Bible dictionaries. Most of the time. He hardly uses them. He said he prefers to use everyday dictionary. Of course, it's because he wants to be safe. He wants to be a conservative, because sometimes some of these people can have their own things that they may want to hide. So let me go with everyday normal dictionary. Is that okay? We need dictionaries. Okay, now number 3. And I will probably stop there, then we'll take further help, and then we'll take a case study, that's all. Dictionary, the other thing is we need cross references. And of course, you can have it as a cross reference Bible. When you buy some of this King James Bible, and Living Bible have it now, and so many of the other ones, you will see that in the middle of the Bible, if you have the Bible like this, and you have this one side, you will see that there's another line here. Then they will write some verses of the Bible inside here. Abby? That's what they call center column cross-reference Bible. There's a column in the center. Center column. It's cross-references. What cross-references are is that they are related Bible passages that talk about a particular verse. So, assuming you were reading, in the beginning was the word, and then you see something like A on top of the word, like that. What you do is go to that center column, check that particular verse. That's John 1 verse 1, Abby. So what you will have is something like, in that column, you will have 1 verse 1. And then you can see A under it. And then they will write some Bible passages. Those are Bible passages that have something to say about this same thing. They are related to it. So they can help you understand more of what happened here. Do you understand that? That's how to use cross references. Some of them may not put it in center. There are some of them that they put their cross references under the words. Anyhow your own Bible is. Just know that anywhere there will be cross reference, they will give you a sign. Many times, they will give you a sign that there's something there. So you go and look for that letter or figure or whatever they use and trace it. Then you will see related scriptures. Of course, if you have a computer and then you have a Bible software, or maybe even on your phones or something, you can have cross references as well displayed. Is that okay? So it can be either a cross reference Bible or cross references you get from other media. Fine up to that point, right? Okay, more help, further help. What if I begin to study and then I have my mind flying, or especially that happens in prayer. You want to pray. How do I conquer mind flying? Let me give you a practical solution Jesus has given me. It has never failed me since the day I started using it. It's a very common problem with youths. Your mind flies. Number one thing, the first thing you do, please, is live a quiet life. That one is general. The main solution I will give you now. But the first thing that makes our mind fly much is because you are too much, you are too distracted with many things. You are flying everywhere. So your heart is filled with all manner. You know what I mean? Too much of activity expended here and there. So there are too many things at the end of the day packed in your mind, garbage. If you learn to live a quiet life, focused on tasks and very important things you are supposed to do, you will have less trouble with your mind jumping up and down. You will have less trouble. If you have not gathered too much things yet, talk with this one and film and that one and one thing you read in somewhere and all those things that are scattered, that have no bearing towards what you really want in life. If you cut them down, you will have less trouble with your mind flying. But even after you have cut them down and you begin to pray and then one unnecessary thought begins to jump out in your mind, please, this is what you do. That thing was sent so that it will distract you and stop you from praying. Drag it. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 3 to 4. No, 2 Corinthians 10 3 to 4. Casting down every imagination, every thought, and making them to obey Christ. From that one, he showed me, drag that thought to Jesus Christ. Instead of letting it carry you away, take that thought and include it in your prayer. As Brother Shagun gave us opportunity to pray yesterday, after we ever finished teaching, I knelt down there that I will not let the keyboard hold me down. I knelt down to pray and to talk to God. Immediately I knelt down, certain concerns I had. One, I wanted to give a particular memory card and a CD to someone in church. I've been running in my mind about how to do it earlier. Immediately I had time to kneel down and be meditative. It came. All those your hidden concerns, that's what the things that are jumping out. So what I do, what I had to do, applying the same thing I'm telling you now, is to bring it. Say, Jesus, what I'm asking you now, which is that I want to know you more and a few other things, are more important than this memory card. I included it in my prayer. Once you drag it and you bring it into your discussion, you have killed the power. The power was to distract you. Now bring it in and talk about it. I'm not saying you are going to dwell on it. Just drag it and say, I recognize you that you are there. Instead of trying to do, no, this thought must go, you forget it. Don't kill yourself. Drag the thought. Report that thought to Jesus and tell him that, see this thought as it's coming. It's not what I'm here for. You have attended to the thought and you have discarded it. Because you have given a new command to that your mind that this is not what I'm here for. But to keep trying to run away from it, it doesn't work. Those things will not touch your mind. Put another thing there. So drag it back to Jesus and deal with it in your conversation. What if I come and I'm feeling dry? Those are common challenges. You are feeling dry and it's as if nothing will ever come out if I even start reading anything now. What do I do? Of course, you can help yourself by praying. And I'm not saying that the religious prayer will pray. We have heard from the pastors, so let me also add a little bit of that. You will pray. Oh, what if I'm even struggling to pray? This is another practical help. Let me give you with the word. I heard this. Holy songs can do holy fire. If you take time and you allow holy songs, I am not saying songs from Jamos and all the other Karen Clark and Kerakiki and all these things that they just move up and down. I am not saying it. I don't recommend them. I'm saying sober songs that have words, that have life. When they enter your head, they will calm your spirit. They will begin to build fire in you. Are you with me? If you have them that you can play, fine. If you don't have anyone to play, find one song that you will never escape, that you can always sing to yourself, that when I sing this song to myself, it inspires me. Find a song like that. Do everything possible to find a song like that. It will be a very powerful tool. Pick up that type of song and start singing it meditatively. Your dryness will soon disappear. You are dry because you have probably been in touch. You have probably not been in touch for some time with the divine. That's probably why you are dry. Do you understand? So it's either you go and you will pray, and you will pray well. You will pray well. You will pray well. You put yourself in. If you have grown more, maybe like Abraham, he may not need to do much of those other things. He might just have to be properly meditative. And besides, let me tell you another thing that works for him. He lives a very quiet life. That's why it's very easy for him to say, let me be calm in my spirit and I want to hear. Somebody who is jumping up and down cannot do that. Do you understand? That's why I recommended earlier, live a quiet life. I'm not saying don't go out, but this jumping and do everything, you are so scattered. Don't do it. And then if last night you were going to pray this morning, last night you just saw a movie, and that was what you carried to bed, how will evil thoughts or thoughts not come when you are praying? That's the last program that was in your mind. So immediately you have opportunity to be alone and to retreat inside. That's the first thing that begins to play. So we are our own devils. Are we not now? That's it. I have committed that same blunder many times. The first night I joined Sister Ronke to watch The Seeker. That night the Holy Spirit told me, go and sleep. You are not meant to watch this. I said, I'll just delete you. I ended up staying more on that movie than she did. She went to sleep at a point. I was still there. Of course, it ruined my quiet time that morning. Because when I close my eyes, what I see is Seeker. You know, my mind is sharp, very alert. So I see all those things. You are the one distracting yourself. So live a quiet life, and anything that wants to distract you, bring it into your prayer. And if you are feeling dry, pray. Pray and get out of yourself. Let a holy song minister to you. It will cure your dryness. The final one is if you have no hunger at all. Sometimes you don't even feel like reading, as in there's no hunger. Of course, again, where do we come to? We have to pray. And you come back, you say, Jesus, I will not lie. I am not feeling like doing anything, but I need you to help me. This is my life. If I don't do this, then I will die. Then you pray. Say, Lord, please increase my hunger. Increase my hunger. This one that after 15 minutes, I'm already tired. Increase my hunger. And you will do it. Are you getting me? Another practical help is pick up a message like this one, or another message on devotion, or things that you know when you had them, they stirred your passion for Bible study and all that. Pick them up again and play a second time. It will bring back the same fire that was there before. That's how it was restored. After months of not really being so much with God in my quiet time and all, what God used that helped me to revive it was to tell me to listen to Bible's message on being with Jesus, The Secret of Mary. That's what. That message, I played it 5 times in one row. I was trekking to school. That day, I just wanted to go and collect money. I trekked to the school, playing the message. Then, it finished playing the first time. I trekked back. The second time, they went and now said I should come back. I took bike to go first, and then trekked back. I trekked back the third time, then took bike to come back. I played that message 5 times. The next morning, I sat down and said, Jesus, I've come. Come and teach me. Started giving me. That message, what has it done now? Revived, because I saw the necessity of staying with Jesus afresh again. We are good up to that point. I'm sure most of your concerns are already handled. Okay, so finally, I will not spend more time on that, because these are all the things that give us the problem. So how do I now study? To study means to pay close attention. Give me something to take this out. To study means to pay close attention. It also means to gather your thoughts around something. Number 2 is to gather your thoughts around something. Of course, it also involves paying close attention and gathering your thoughts. The other aspect of it is when you are reading a particular material, like a research work on a material for a particular purpose. If I use dictionary, it will help me to bring it out better. It's in Encounter Dictionary and even Word Web and many of the other dictionaries. Do you understand? Like, when you say you are doing a study, it could be that you have a material, it could be that you have a book that you are reading on a particular subject. Do you understand? And you are really taking your time to draw out all the most important things you really want to get from that material. Do you understand what I'm saying? So part of your study definitely could be, it could include other books, especially when you are doing a topical study. It will include other books that other people that you know are inspired by God. Please, if you are not certain, please don't venture into that. Other books from people that are inspired by God. I can recommend somebody like Brother Bile, for instance. I can recommend Watchman Nee. I can recommend A.W. Tozer. If I mention anyone, I can recommend E.W. Kenyon. Okay. Such men that had a deep walk with God, you can pick their book also on a particular topic that you are studying, and you, from there you will see many scriptures. You will see how they also had revelation on certain scriptures and use it as a guide for that thing you are studying. It can also be of very great help. Do we get that? So, if I say I'm studying now, let's have a scripture to check. So when you study, first thing you do is this, Ba. Put yourself in the story. 1 Corinthians 10:6 and 11. That's where that is. The things that were written, they were written for us. For who, please? Eh? Mark 13:37 says the same thing. What I say unto one, I say to all. What is it? Watch. They were written for us. So if you read, for God so loved the world, stop imagining which world. The noun here that God loved is the world. Of course, he's talking about the people of the world. So put yourself. God so loved Moses. The Bible was written for you, not for anybody else. So put yourself there. That 1 Corinthians 10 verse 6, he said, these things were written for our admonition, so that as some of them grumbled and perished, so that we will learn not to grumble. So that as they did this, so that we will not do it. So put yourself there. That if I do the same thing this person did, this is what will happen to me as well. Put yourself there. You say, this one is, God gave me a scripture. He's talking about Elijah. Me and Elijah. What is Elijah and me? Put yourself in the position of Elijah. Matthew 9:11-13 that we were given to study about Jesus and being a physician and coming for those who are sick. Excuse me, there are three ways you can study that particular scripture. There were three major characters. You had Jesus, you had the Pharisees, and you have the people that are sick. You can say you are putting yourself in the position of Jesus based on your need and based on your understanding. If I'm standing in the position of Jesus, then I'll be looking at it more from being the one God wants to use to minister help, and why I should not discriminate, and why I should know who my right audience will be, and all of that. If it is that you are looking at the Pharisees, you can look at their own discrimination and their self-righteousness and begin to learn how not to be self-righteous, or be convicted also if you yourself have been self-righteous. You begin to look for areas where you have been self-righteous. The third one could be the person that is sick. You can admit that, okay, I think I'm the one that is sick here now. I have this type of problem, but it is for my type that Jesus came. And you are getting something from your Bible study. Isn't it? Eh? You put yourself in the picture. That's how to study. It is you that we are dealing with, not anybody else. Bring yourself into the story. Once God gave one of my sisters, she's here, a scripture that was talking about the coat that was tied down. And she's like, I asked God to talk to me. He said, I need a coat. Am I a donkey? But excuse me, that's what you are. Jesus is using that coat to teach you that I am doing to you what was done to that coat. And by the time Jesus needs the coat, it will say, untie him. I want to use it. Abby? But as long as that coat remains there, it feels like I'm tied down. All my mates are progressing. See, people are riding. Important people are riding on all the other coats. He doesn't know that it's being reserved for use by the most important person. And after many thousands of years that nobody knows any coat anymore in Jerusalem, we will still be talking about the coat that Jesus rode. The person doesn't know. You are... Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Put yourself in the picture. That's the scripture. That's the scripture that talks about it. There are many more. 2 Timothy 4:12. It says, pay attention to yourself and to your doctrine, and then you'll be able to save yourself and those who are hearing you. The same thing. That same thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you are given another assignment as you are going to be given to study, I have to round up now. If you are given another assignment, put yourself in the picture. Okay? Bring yourself into it. Don't explain what happened. I don't need it. We know the story already. Come and say, I am this person. This is my area. This is where I am wrong. Then this is what he said about it. And then don't stop there. Press on and ask the Holy Spirit, please, how do I solve that problem? From your cross references and co, or other help, or by him speaking to your heart, he can lead you to other scriptures that will give you answer and show you how to leave that category. Finally, when you now come to a scripture like the one I've quoted, and it started with 4, assuming you want to study that verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. What does it mean? What is 4? Eh? What I'm teaching you to do now is to pay attention to every word. How many things? Eh? You pay attention to words. It's possible that, well, at a particular point, not every word may be striking you, but if you are going to particularly study a verse that you know something jumped to you from, like, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Stay on each word. Apart, what is he talking about? From me, what is he talking about? Are you getting me? By the time you are coming out, you will be richly blessed. Use dictionaries and the rest. When you see a word like for, if you read dictionary, you will see that it means because. So this thing is saying, because God so loved the world. Do you start a statement with because? Eh? Can you start a conversation with because? Do you normally start conversation with because? If I have not told you anything, I say, because God so loved the world. It's either what that because is attached for. It's either the thing will be given after the statement, or it has been given before the statement. So, because God loved the world, that's why he sent Jesus to die. So, the reason for the because, you are finding it in a later statement. Abby? But also, it is a conjunction in English. It is used to link one sentence or statement to another. So, what is advised when you find such words? Because, since, when, or therefore, or all those, nevertheless. Nevertheless means notwithstanding, which means you have been saying something before that, okay, however. Do you understand? It's a reverse. You go back up to where that conversation started from. Do what? Go back up. That was what I did one of the days when I was studying about God's love. I started from this one that I know. And then he showed me 4. So I went back up and I came to verse 14 where he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. From that one I say, as Moses lifted up the serpent. How did Moses lift up the serpent? That from cross reference in the Bible, it took me to Numbers 21, where Moses lifted up the serpent. So I went to study the whole passage from verse 1 to 9, where Moses lifted up the serpent, saw the things that happened there. When I understood that, came back to John 14. John 3, verse 14, joined the two together. Before I came down to 15, and back to 16. Do you understand how to study? Eh? We can't finish it all in a day. I have to stop here now. Is that okay, everybody? Okay. One last thing, please. This is especially useful if you are studying a topic. Write your questions. For God, love, if you are studying love, you say, those are all the things you want to know. You say, what is love? That's the first question. How can I love? Are you getting me? Am I loved? Another one. To what extent am I loved? Another one. What are the benefits of my being loved? Another point. So you know that you are in the business of searching through the Bible to get all those questions answered. That's especially how you do topical study. Like what Abraham said, what is prayer? From that definition, they told you prayer is communication with God. Number one is prayer is communication. Bam. So what is communication? We are going to look at it. With God. Who is God? Another topic. Abby? And all that. Write the questions on a topic. How do I study? What do I study? Where do I study? To what extent should I study? And then you begin to look through the Word of God to answer those questions. But I've told you, you can pick a book. You must have time for Bible reading, so you can get familiar, especially with several things in the Bible. They will be useful when you want to do deep studies, because the Holy Spirit can bring them to your remembrance. Remember that thing in Nehemiah. Hey, it is applicable in this thing. You see that thing? That's what you have here. But when you don't even know the story, where does it remind you anything from? Is that okay? Is that okay? Thank you. So we stop there. Any questions? I hope not. We don't even have the time. All right. Please let Brother Abraham come up for the next session. Please let us pray. Let us pray. If we keep telling you, study the Bible, and we don't tell you how, we have not helped you much. So you are learning how. Pray and ask the Lord for illumination. Ask Him that He should give you entrance to the Word of God, that when you come to the Word, it should open. There are still things I did not touch. Let me touch it as you are praying. If you come to a point and it's as if you don't understand, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16. If a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You turn to the Holy Spirit. You read your Bible praying. You pray and you beg God, Lord, open my eyes. What does this thing mean? You ask the Holy Spirit questions on every scripture. Ask Him questions. Open my eyes. Because when a man turns to the Spirit, to the Lord, the veil is taken away. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Pray and ask the Lord to give you illumination, that when you come to the Word of God, it will automatically open. You have heard how Pastor Shegun said, he will go into the bush and be praying, God, open my eyes, open my eyes. He will keep praying, God, open my eyes, let me understand your word. Pray like that also, so that when you come, it is fresh. Every time you open your Bible, it's as if every day you'll be seeing revelation. Every day you'll be seeing new things to do. You have to pray it. You have to pray it. It's not cheap. It doesn't give it to just anybody. It must be the person who has known that the word is the most important thing and is ready to go all out that will get access.
In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Father, we thank you for such a foundational teaching on how to study our Bibles. The grace to become people who practice these things, grant unto us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because you are God. In Jesus' most precious name. Praise the Lord. I'm supposed to start the second session, the next session now, but I want to give us about 10 minutes to stand up and walk around and stretch, okay? So that you are fresh for the class, and it's not just, so it's not just boring. Amen. What I'm coming with is a word of prophecy, and it's a warning. Praise the Lord. But I'll be teaching you on personal evangelism. Please, by 1:35, we can sit down. Please, let's just stand up, walk around, and so that you're refreshed.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-334-8058 080-813-385-36 080-7455-8177 081-4099-1321
or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there There is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life